So the Transfiguration of the Lord, it's a special treat for us, because we know August 6th comes around every year, but it's only so often it comes around on a Sunday that we get to celebrate as a parish community this great feast, the Transfiguration, this revealing of the majesty of God. Where it says he was transformed, transfigured, the Greek word would be metamorphosis. That same word we studied like in third grade science about caterpillars and butterflies. This radical change on display in the person of Jesus, his hair and his clothes. If we listened well to that first reading from the prophecy of Daniel, the vision of Daniel, we can kind of see that prophecy coming to fruit in the person of Jesus. This event happened, we don't have it in the passage that we just heard, but it was 6 days later. Later from what? Later from when Jesus told Peter and the other that he was going to die, that he would be handed over to the authorities, and that his life would be taken from him, that he would be crucified. And that's when Peter said, no, never. That's never going to happen. And Jesus told Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking like man, not as God thinks. Then Jesus went on to say, anyone who wishes to follow me will have to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me, giving them the high cost of discipleship. They had been walking with Jesus for quite a while now, and they'd seen all these amazing things. And they had faced some of that difficulties with the Pharisees and the scribes. But would it really come to death? And do I have to join him on that death march of carrying my cross? Jesus says, yes. And so what the church fathers tell us, perhaps the main reason for this event on top of that mountain is to calm their fears, to broaden their perspective, to deepen their horizon so that they could see the truth, that this was all part of the plan, that this great revelation, that the Son of God, who has been made manifest to them in the person of Jesus, there's something amazing taking place, something real, but something new. This will require a whole new attitude, a whole new thought process. It will require a transformation, a metamorphosis in the mind and the heart of those who choose to follow Jesus. And he's up on this mountain, which, as the great biblical scholars that I know we all are, is a clue. The Old Testament, when someone encountered God, it was on a mountain. So then Peter, James, and John accompanied Jesus up the mountain. We should have been aware that something was going to happen. When Moses climbed the mountain 7 days later in that great encounter with God on top of Mount Sinai, where he received the Ten Commandments, where he received the law, where he was able to talk to God, Elijah climbed the mountain. And so we see these two great figures from the Old Testament in this vision, in this reality, Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. In St. Luke's account of the Transfiguration, he says they're talking about Jesus' exodus. What's the exodus? Oh yeah, that's when they were in slavery and they crossed the Red Sea and the Jordan River and they went into the Promised Land. So maybe by following Jesus, maybe he will take us from slavery to sin to the freedom of life in the Spirit. Moses said, there will be a prophet coming after me and you will listen to him. What did the voice from the heavens say? This is my son, listen to him. All of this Old Testament symbolism, prophecy, and expectation coming to fulfillment in this encounter. In the Old Testament, when Moses went up the mountain, he took Aaron his brother and then a set of brothers up the mountain with him. Today, Peter, James, and John, Peter, the first apostle, and James and John, a set of brothers, goes up with him. So same three that Jesus would take with him into the garden, where there's another magnificent encounter with God the Father as Jesus was praying before he went to the Passion. And Matthew's gospel we just heard, it says that they fell down. St. Luke says that they fell asleep in the garden of agony. Those same three men fell asleep, and Jesus had to come to them and touch them and wake them up. Peter says, it's good that we are here. It's good that we are in the presence of the glory of God. Who here has not faced suffering? Who here has not in some way tasted the cross? Who here has not in some way recoiled back from the cross and decided that this can't be God's plan, that I want a different hand. Deal me something different, Lord. I can't handle this. And then we come to this mountaintop. And as the priest says those words and elevates the sacred species, and we are once, as Peter, James, and John are, we are face to face with the glory of God. Does our heart say, it's good that we are here? Are we filled with the glory of God? And like Peter, James, and John, then are we inspired to go back down the mountain and to continue the life that God is calling us to? Or do we want to stay here because it's nice and it's comfortable and I'm wrapped up in the glory of God? This Feast of the Transfiguration is not just something that happened all those years ago and easily depicted in a piece of artwork that really has no meaning for our lives. But that warning that Jesus gave to the disciples about carrying their cross and following him is one that was given to us at our baptism. It's the only way to go to heaven. There's no other way. If we want to go to heaven, we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow after Jesus, which means we allow him to lead us, which will necessarily mean we're going to the cross. But it's the joy of the cross if we're following Jesus, because we know it's just a temporary thing, because glory awaits us. When we are baptized, we are entered into the person of Jesus Christ. We become adopted sons and daughters, co-heirs to the throne. So what Jesus receives is waiting for us as well. The Second Vatican Council teaches us that Jesus came to reveal the Father. And in doing so, he reveals the true nature of the human person. So this glorified Jesus in some way gives us a glimpse of our destiny. We become like God. We become partakers, sharers of the divine nature. And so, yes, it's good that we are here. It's good that we're in the presence of the glory of God when we come to Holy Mass. But we can't stay here. We must return to our lives, our daily struggles, our daily crosses, and carry them with Jesus, following him to the cross, the crucifixion, following him to heaven. The Lord loves you. The Lord wants you to know the glory that's waiting for you. You will have, in some way, to suffer. You will have to carry the cross. But our lives don't end on Good Friday. We will rise with him on Easter Sunday. So Jesus told them in the gospel, get up, rise. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Jesus is with us.